And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. Each of my guests is discussing an interesting topic, no two of which are related. My next guest is a Harvard professor and a conflict resolution expert. She'll explain the essential role that dignity plays in resolving conflict from her book titled Dignity. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Don Hicks is a PhD. She's also an associate professor at the Weatherhead Center for International Affairs at Harvard University. In addition to teaching conflict resolution at Harvard, Clark, and Columbia Universities, Dr. Hicks has spent nearly two decades in the field of international conflict resolution, facilitating dialogue between communities in conflict in the Middle East, Sri Lanka, Colombia, Cuba, and Northern Ireland. She is a consultant to BBC, where she co-facilitated a television series, Facing the Truth, with Archbishop Desmond Tutu, which aired in the United Kingdom and on BBC World in 2006. Dr. Hicks also works as a consultant to corporations and organizations, applying her dignity model to everyday business and relational situations. She lives and works in the Boston area. Joining us from Boston, how are you today, Donna?
Oh, I'm really well, Bill. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Now, your book is really a, sort of the encapsulation of something that you call the dignity model. And in your book, you outline the three significant parts to the dignity model. What I thought was interesting that it starts with the 10 essential elements of dignity. Now, I've never broken it down or considered it this way, but obviously you've made an extensive study of this. So talk to me, what are some of the elements of dignity, and how do we step on other people's dignities by violating these elements?
Well, let me first say, Bill, that when I started researching this topic of dignity, even though I knew that it was really a significant factor in these big international conflicts that I'd worked on, when I realized that everybody agreed with me that dignity was so important and that we had to figure out how to address these dignity issues if any of these conflicts were going to get resolved. So then I started doing a little work, and I looked through all of the literature that people have written about dignity, and surprisingly, I found nothing. I found nothing, Bill, that described ways in which, you know, ways to make this dignity concept something concrete that we could all look at and say, gee, are these the ways that I may be violating somebody, or is this the way that I would like to honor somebody if I were honoring their dignity? But there was no this there. So unfortunately, I mean, it took me a long, long time, several years, but I had to figure it out myself what these essential elements of dignity were, because everybody said, oh, yeah, that's so important, but nobody could put their finger on exactly what it would look like if we were wanting to honor somebody's dignity on a regular basis.
So, fascinating.
I mean, that was just, to me, that was fascinating in and of itself, that, you know, everybody believes dignity is important, but nobody knows really what it is and what it looks like on a daily basis. So I started watching for the times when I would be doing these international conflict resolution dialogues between parties. I would watch for ways in which the parties would really emotionally get very upset with one another. And I figured out 10 different ways in which we could have our dignity violated. So, for example, let me just give you a couple examples. So when people feel that their identity is being dismissed and trampled upon, this is probably one of the most significant violations of dignity. When, for example, we treat somebody as less than because they're from a particular, let's say, you know, ethnic group or racial group, or, you know, whether they're women versus men, and whatever those classical distinctions are that we make about people, that is that when we start treating people as inferior or less than we are based on those identity issues, then that's a huge dignity violation.
And that's the one that most people associate with dignity, I'd have to say, Donna. I mean,
you codified
10 of them, but really acceptance of identity has to be the first one, because if you're dismissive to a person because of his or her place in the world, his or her racial profile, whatever it might
be,
then you have no basis for dignity there at all. But that's where your book gets better, because you go beyond just that one classification that I normally associate with it, and you get the nine others, of course. But there are a couple in here that I want to talk about in some detail, but I'll let you talk about some of the top-of-mind ones that are most important in your mind.
Well, no, honestly, Bill, I think they're all important. Ones that people resonate to the most when I work with them in a workshop is this idea of giving people the benefit of the doubt. That when you are having a conversation with someone or just meeting somebody for the first time, if you have a judgment in your mind that you prejudge them without giving them the benefit of the doubt that, you know, maybe I should just sit here and listen to this person and let that person kind of unfold in front of me, then I'll figure out whether I'm going to judge them, you know, negatively or not. But just starting out every conversation that we have, every meeting, every encounter, assuming that people have integrity and that we need to give them the benefit of the doubt, that's one of the most beautiful ways that you can honor somebody's dignity. But, you know, the fact is, most of us, and, you know, I'm guilty of this too. I have to watch myself every time. Most of us, you know, are pretty much on guard when we first meet somebody. We are kind of judging them a little bit. But all of these things, what we have to keep a conscious, you know, keep them consciously in our minds that, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to not give this person the benefit of the doubt. So that one, most people really think, wow, that is a tough one to do, but how important is that?
And it resonated with me, Donna, and I'm so glad you chose that one, because that's one of the ones that I'd highlighted that I wanted to talk in some detail about. Because how, when you have two parties that are competing or two parties that are antagonistic against one another, do you get the parties to give the benefit of the doubt? If it's a heated business negotiation, or if it's Northern Ireland versus the British, you know, and some of the things that you've negotiated, how do you get people to give the benefit of the doubt when there is a history, a tradition of not giving the benefit of the doubt or having trust and dignity betrayed?
Yeah, this is all about trust, this one, Bill, because, you know, 9 times out of 10, if you talk to anybody who's been in a difficult conflict, whether it's international level or even in one's family or in the workplace, these conflicts usually have a history of having had their dignity, the parties in the conflict have had a history of mutual dignity violations. So it's a back and forth, you know, it's one gives rise to another, and it's very, very difficult to put this idea forward to them to say, hey, look, you know, if you're going to get anywhere in these negotiations, if you're going to make any progress in resolving this conflict, you're going to have to decide that you are going to take a step to show the other side, the other person, that you are trustworthy. Don't wait for him to come to you or for her to come to you. You take the first step and say, look, I may have not been trustworthy in the past, but I'm, you know, acknowledging that I might not have been trustworthy. But let me say that I want to restart this relationship, and I want to show you, you know, that I am going to give you the benefit of the doubt, even in spite of the fact in the past we may have had differences. When I can get people to do that, you would be so surprised, Bill, how quickly the dynamic turns around. Because if somebody's coming at you that you've been in a conflict with and says to you, you know what, I might have made some mistakes in the past, and maybe I wasn't trustworthy, but right now I want to begin again. You would be shocked at how beautifully that works.
Well, that is a profound phrase, and that phrase alone can just change the tenor of any arrangement that you have. My guest is Donna Hicks. She's the author of the book Dignity, The Essential Role That It Plays in Resolving Conflict. Before we get off the benefit of the doubt, Donna, I want to take this one step farther, if I can, please, and say, you know, in our modern society, we're initially skeptical of just about everything. So how does our modern society, all of the pressures, all of the scams, the Bernie Madoffs, all of the fly-by-night television ads that you see, and all of that kind of stuff, how does that really sharpen our awareness and lower our dignity that we project onto other people because we have to be on our guard?
No, you're right, and there's something even more profound, actually deeper, I would add, that is that we have to fight in not giving the benefit of the doubt, and that is that we're basically hardwired to be distrustful of others. We're basically, you know, we have self-preservation instincts that are very, very deep within us. I mean, you know, the minute somebody comes at us, we respond, right? Whether it's harsh words or somebody comes at us physically, most of us will have a response where we defend ourselves.
That's right.
And this benefit of the doubt thing, it's challenging that is challenging that internal hardwired impulse that we have not to be trusting of others. So add to the whole societal thing that you beautifully just described, which is at play, because there's been so many, you know, bad experiences like the Madoffs and all the rest. Add to that this whole biological imperative that we have to preserve ourselves. And we've got some problems with this element of dignity with benefit of the doubt. But I, again, Bill, the thing that I stress with people when I work with them around this issue is, look, you know, we definitely have this impulse, knowing that it's there, and making a conscious choice. All of the dignity work requires us to make a conscious choice that we're not going to contribute to the negativity in the world, that we're going to try to inject some positive way of being together that is different from what our knee-jerk responses tell us. I mean, this is one of the things I learned from Archbishop Tutu, is that, you know, we have all these negative impulses, whether it's xenophobia or all the distrust. But the fact is, we also are really, Homo sapiens are really smart people. We've also been given the opportunity to be able to hold those instincts in abeyance and say, look, I can do better than this. I can do better than my hardwired instincts, and I'm going to restrain myself from acting on them, and I'm going to try to inject some positivity in the world. I mean, that's really the bottom line as I see it.
That it is. My guest is Donna Hicks. And Donna, you just hit on the nail on the head. A big part of this is just being conscious of the fact that you have these tendencies to violate other people's dignities. And in fact, you've listed in your book 10 temptations that we all face to violate dignity on a day-to-day basis. Take us through some of these, because once you're aware of them, I think you become much more apt at being able to curb them or control them. But you first have to be aware of them.
You first have to be aware of them. That's the first step. And we all know about the fight and flight instinct. Pretty much everybody's heard about that, that when, you know, somebody comes at us and we're in a dangerous situation, we'll either fight or we'll flee in order to stay alive, just preserve ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, there are many, many more of these instincts. Fight and flight they're just two of the more well-known ones. But for example, think about this, Bill. All of us have this instinct to want to save face when we were exposed for having done something wrong. Nobody likes to get up there and say, well, gee, you know, I'm sorry, I really did do you wrong, I really did hurt you, and I'm sorry for it. No, we usually make all kinds of excuses before we will start taking responsibility. And this face-saving instinct that we have was originally designed to protect us, right? But the fact is, now in this day and age and in the 21st century, this face-saving thing is getting us into so much trouble with our relationships. And so if we can hold that one back, if we can say, look, it's better for me to come clean than it is to pretend, to lie, to deceive. Look at how many politicians have done this in the last couple of months. Nobody steps up to the plate and says, that's not their first instinct. Their first instinct is to say, no, I didn't do this. You know, we look at one of the examples I use is the Senator Edwards. Remember in the beginning when he was just found out that he had this child with another woman, he denied the whole thing and said it was, but this is what we do. This is what human beings do. They try to deny it. They try to cover up. All of us do it. Some of us worse than others, obviously. but the whole point is that this is something that was an instinct inside us designed to keep us alive, but it's outdated now. And the more people come out and say, yeah, you know, I really was guilty, you know what happens? People open their hearts to those, to that kind of vulnerability.
We Americans are very prone to do that. My guest is Donna Hicks. Donna, one of the things, the temptations that really was intriguing to me, particularly coming from a business aspect, is this whole idea of shirking responsibility. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that, because I see this day to day in business on a regular basis.
Yeah, I do a lot of consulting in the business world too, Bill, and it's very difficult for people in leadership positions, especially to well, this is related to another temptation. It's very difficult for them to actually admit that they might have done something wrong, and to say, look, you know, I did make a mistake, and to take responsibility for it, because in the hierarchical structure of a corporation or a business setting, you know, you're likely to get canned. You're likely to get replaced by somebody else if you admit that. And so in the business community, it's really, really tough to just come out and say, look, we made a mistake. We want to make it right. And, you know, let's just move on forward. But there's such a fear. There's such a fear of taking responsibility because, again, people feel that they're going to either be fired. I've heard executives say, look, this is career suicide if we decide to come clean with all the things we might have done wrong. So, it's just a human vulnerability. We all have it. And I love that we're talking about this today because the more we can all be conscious of it, as you said, and be aware of it, we can take the sting out of it. We can all say, look, we're all guilty of this, and the sting and the shame at the same time, because, Bill, that's really what's preventing people from owning up is just the shame.
Absolutely. My guest is Donna Hicks, author of the book Dignity, The Essential Role That It Plays in Resolving Conflicts. Donna, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Dignity?
Well, I want, just as you said in the beginning, Bill, I want to make this idea of dignity, this concept, make it real for people, help them recognize that if they're feeling bad about themselves, most likely it's not because they're bad. Most likely it's because bad things have happened to them. In other words, most likely they've probably suffered some dignity violations. So I cannot tell you how much suffering that I have encountered around this, that people are quietly suffering, feeling unworthy, feeling bad about themselves, when the fact is, 9 times out of 10, they've suffered from some terrible indignities. And so I just like to set the record straight for people that just because you've been treated badly doesn't mean that you're bad. It means that you've had something really horrible happen to you. So that's number one. But number two, on the other side of it is, once people understand that they really are worthy and that they're not bad people, that bad things have happened to them, there's a certain joyousness that comes from that realization. Because imagine if all your life, if you had a really bad childhood and, you know, you were abused and neglected by, you know, your caretakers, imagine growing up and then realizing, oh, wow, that didn't mean that I was bad. It just meant that my parents were unable to care for me. You know, it's a very different framing of why you might be depressed or feeling bad. It's that, gosh, it's just because I've had my dignity violated. And there is a joyousness that comes with that realization that, wow, I really am a worthy person. I am a good person, and I can live a fulfilled life.
And a real maturity that comes from that as well.
Maturity.
My guest is Donna Hicks. And, Donna, if people are intrigued by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I have a website, Bill. It's drdonnahicks.com. It's all lowercase, drdonnahicks.com. And if people want to Google me, there's pages of things that I've done, that I've written, many other radio interviews, and just lots of stuff online with blogs and so forth. So that would be the best way to go.
That is great. It has been a delight, Donna. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Well, thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you. And